How many of you parents have ever heard these words? Many times. Are we there yet? 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 How much longer? Are we there yet? We take a trip and we wasn't out of the driveway. And I'd start hearing it. Like, guys, we're not even out of the driveway yet. It takes a little time. Well, I want to talk about that this morning in relation to our journey with the Lord. And I want to ask that question, are we there yet? Because there's a place God wants you to be. And I've got some good news. The good news is we're getting there. I don't know that we're there, but I can tell we're getting there. Amen? I can tell by the way you worship. I can tell by the level of enthusiasm and excitement in people that we're getting closer to where God wants us to be. We're getting there. So that's the question we're asking this morning. Are we there yet? Are we where God wants us to be? Because God's got a place, a special place, where the blessings of the Lord are manifest in that place. The Bible says there is a path that the vulture's eye has never seen and the lions do not trod there. It is a secret path. It is a hidden path. In other words, the Bible is telling you there is a place in God that is secure and safe and protected, where the blessings of the Lord flow. The lions do not trod there. The vulture's eye has never seen. It's a special place in God that you can get to. But to get to the place God wants you to be, here's the small print. Here's the fine print. Here's the catch. You know, there's a catch to everything. Here's the catch. Here's the deal. You got to do it God's way. You got to do what God wants you to do. Ah, and that's the rub. That's often the problem. We want to do it our way. We want to follow our path. We want to follow our rules. We don't want to do it God's way. And if you don't do it God's way, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen. You're going to spend your whole life frustrated. You're going to spend your whole life searching for something you're never, ever going to find, because you spent your whole life. You could reach the end of your life and sing, I did it my way. You know? And that, the end of your life song should be, I did it His way. That we follow Him. So really comes down to obedience. How many of you parents like obedient children? Isn't that a blessing? Oh, a child that obeys. Amen? I love obedient children. Guess what? God loves obedient children. How many of you bless your children when they're obedient? You just kind of want to do something special for them because they're just good. Amen? God does the same thing. He blesses His obedient children because they put themselves in a place of blessing. Now, let me show you this from the Word of God. Let's look at our first passage this morning. Then we're going to pray and then we're going to get started. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 and 4. I want you to look at this verse. And the word of the Lord came to him, that's Elijah, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and go hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. I want you to leave where you're at and I want you to go to this place. I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And it will be that you shall drink from that brook. Now listen to this. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I want you to see that. Not here. I didn't command the ravens to feed you where you're at. I commanded the ravens to feed you there. I commanded the ravens to be over there. So if you're going to receive a blessing from the ravens, you're going to have to get over there. You're going to have to get to where I want you to be. It's not going to happen where you're at. You're going to have to do what I want you to do. You're going to have to take the steps that I want you to take. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, for what you've set to do and appointed to do in the service. And I just pray that you have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, sometimes when we hear messages like this, we're prone to think, you know, look, Glenn, I hear you, but I'm just me, man. I'm just me. I'm nobody special. I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary girl. I'm just ordinary. I'm just simple. I don't know. You get in all this big, deep stuff about God, and we can do these great things, and we can, you know, we can see miracles, and we can see God move, and we can see healing, and we can see, you know, I just don't know if that includes me. Let's look at our next passage. James chapter 5, verse 17. We're talking about Elijah this morning. This passage says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that verse is saying? Elijah was human. Elijah was just like you. He was just like me. And the more you read about Elijah, you find that out. He was an ordinary guy. He was just a guy. He was just a man. He wasn't anything extraordinary. He just was a simple man. He was just like everybody else. Say, just like me. One of the things I've learned about God is that He loves using ordinary people. God just loves using, He's always used ordinary people, just people. But He's looking for people who will follow Him. He's looking for people who will play by the rules. He's looking for people who will be obedient. And as long as you fight that, you just resist that, He cannot use you. He's restricted. And the whole lesson of this morning is getting to where God wants you to be and simply following His steps to be there. Elijah wasn't perfect. He had a lot of faults. But look at the things he did. He called fire down from heaven 3 times. He was the first person recorded in the Bible to raise somebody from the dead. He caused the greatest revival in history up to that point. He set Israel on fire for God, the whole nation of Israel. His word, just His word, started and ended a 3-year drought. Just speaking and commanding with authority the words of God. He multiplied food miraculously. He was one of only 2 men that never died in the Bible. He was caught up alive into heaven. Extraordinary testimony of an ordinary man. In fact, the Bible says, and I love this verse, the Bible says that the nations of the surrounding nations of Israel sought him out. They wanted to hear more and see more. I'm telling you, if the church would do what God tells them to do, our influence in the world would be greater. We wonder why we're not the light in the world we ought to be. We wonder why we're not the powerhouse in the world we ought to be, but we don't do what we're supposed to do. Just to do it His way. And sometimes His way seems weird. Sometimes His way, you know, it's like, I'm not sure about that, but it's His way. The purposes of the Lord are sometimes difficult to understand. His ways are not our ways. The Bible says God works in mysterious ways. He told Elijah, I will bless you there, not here. I will bless you there, not here. One of the great lessons that we learn here is that God had a plan for Elijah, but when He told him to go to the brook Cherith, He didn't tell Elijah the whole plan. How many of you notice when God's working with you, He don't always tell you the whole plan? He just gives you one little part. He just gives you one little step. He said, there was much more, but He said, for right now, I just want you to go to that brook. Now, Elijah could have stood there and said, God, there's things that need to be done in the kingdom. There's lives that need to be changed. There's kings and queens that need to be brought under the power of God. Sending me to a brook to just sit by a brook and let ravens come in and drop food, it seems like a waste of time. I mean, he could have argued with God, but God wanted him to start just right here. And sometimes God gives us little simple steps to take. And we just think, I want to go beyond that. We get in a hurry. God doesn't get in a hurry. God takes us in little steps along the way to grow us, to mature us, to train us and teach us. He reveals His will to us one step at a time, 1 mile at a time. Just, and when you're making that journey with your kids and you're driving 500-600 miles or further, it's 1 mile at a time. It's just 1 mile at a time. You can't start off and drive the last mile. Amen? I can remember when we'd visit my brother in Michigan. It was about a 15-hour drive. And coming back, we would get to Meridian. And we always felt like we were getting close to home. We finally got back to Meridian. And we'd get past Meridian. And that last hour from Meridian to Laurel was the longest drive in the world. And I kept saying, have they moved Laurel? Did they move it down the road somewhere? Or didn't it used to be right here? Those last miles. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But God doesn't start there. He starts at the beginning. He reveals His will one step at a time. So after we obey the first step, then He shows you the next. But He doesn't show you the next until you obey the first. Why is the Lord going to show you step two or step 10 when you haven't taken the first step? And there's some of us that are wanting step 10. We're wanting further down the road. We want to see great. We want to do great. And God's sitting there saying, you haven't taken the first step yet. You haven't done what I told you to do. You haven't obeyed me. You haven't done what I asked. I asked a simple thing. And until you do that, I'm not showing you the next step. It's pretty simple. But we get impatient. We're an impatient people. That's why we have drive-thrus, you know, to get food. We want it now. I mean, the next thing we're going to do is drive through the drive-thru and open our mouth and let them throw it in as we drive by. We just want it so fast. And we get so impatient with God and impatient with life. And God is saying, look, I've got awesome blessings and plans for you. Every one of you in this room, God has ordained and orchestrated and purposed wonderful things. And you want to see it. You want to experience it. But you've got to take that first simple step. You've got to obey step one. The Lord told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, and He commanded the ravens to bring Elijah bread and meat there every morning and every evening. That's miraculous. That was a provision during a terrible time. But notice this, God didn't send Elijah's provision to where he was. God doesn't work on your terms. I'm going to make a delivery in your life, but it's not going to come where you are. It's not going to come here. You're going to have to get to where I want you to be. You're going to have to go to where I told you to go. You're going to have to do what I told you to do. That's where the blessing's going to be. But God, just do it. Just do it. Learn to just simply, and it starts simple. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. It's just not hard. But God works on His terms. If Elijah had not gone to the place called there, if he had not gone there, his disobedience would have stopped God's faithfulness. And he would not have received the provision. It wouldn't have happened. I mean, imagine the blessing. Remember, there's a famine going on. There's a drought. People are starving. There's no food. And people are scratching and scrounging to find something to eat. And God's saying, if you'll go over there, I'll feed you and I'll take care of you. Not here, though, where I want you to be. The blessings of the Lord are connected to our obedience. The blessings of the Lord are connected to us being where God wants us to be. You just simply be obedient. There was a man, this was in the early 20th century, the early 1900s. His name was Willard Cantillon, great man of God. And Willard Cantillon was an evangelist and was ministering in England. He used to do big tent meetings. And they would set up the tent and it was just draw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Willard Cantillon, by the way, was a super intelligent man. He was brilliant. God came to him one day and said, I want you to go to India. He said, God, I've got a great ministry going here in England. You know, we're reaching a lot of people. I don't know anything about India. I don't know anybody in India. I have no reason to go to India. I want you to go to India. And God impressed on him so hard to go to India. He said, Lord, I don't even have the funds to go to India. And he argued and argued and argued with God until God made it unbearable. And he finally had to go to India. And he scraped up enough money to get to India. And he got to Calcutta. And you know how much money he had? He had enough money after he got to Calcutta. He said, I had enough money to stay in a hotel that night and to eat that day. And so he said, I'm sitting in a restaurant saying, God, you told me to come to India and I've got a place to stay tonight and I can eat today. But after today, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know anybody. But you told me to come to India. While he was in that restaurant, a man walked up to him and said, are you Willard Cantillon? He said, yes, I am. He said, I'm a businessman here in Calcutta, very wealthy. And he said, I'm a believer in Jesus and a follower of Jesus, and we need Jesus in India. And he said, the Lord spoke your name to me and told me you would be here and that I was to seek you out, and I am to underwrite your ministry and pay the bills and take care of everything. Amen. 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 But folks, how many of you know that's a big step? But it's what God told him to do. And when he got there, God blessed him there. It would have never happened if he'd have stayed in England. And that's not to say God wouldn't have continued to use him in England, but God ended up using him in great measure simply because he was obedient. And the place called there changes. God changed the place and he changed the method of Elijah's provision. Let's look at our next passage this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 and 9 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came to him again. And he said, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs in Zidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow woman there to take care of you. I can just see Elijah going, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you shouting about? God has commanded a widow woman to take care of me in the middle of this drought, in the middle of these problems. What does that mean? It means there's a rich widow that lives in Zarephath. She's probably loaded. Her husband passed away and left her a big house and a lot of money. She's got, I'm going to go live in luxury. God's going to take care of me. I'm excited about the next step in the journey. And so he heads off to Zarephath, and he gets to Zarephath, and he goes, and I'm making some of this up. I don't know that it happened like this. But he goes to Zarephath, and he goes to the richest part of town with all the big houses and gated communities. And he's like, okay, now where does this widow live? Which house is, which one of these mansions does this beautiful woman live in? And I hope she's pretty, and this might work out real good. And God said, you're in the wrong neighborhood. What'd you say, Lord? I said, you're in the wrong neighborhood. Amen. This widow I'm talking about lives in another part of town. Well, Lord, I'm familiar with that part of town, and there ain't much over there. No, that's where I want you to go. You see, You're going to do something. You're not going to receive, Elijah. You're going to give. I said, you're not going to receive. You're going to give. Oh, that's so good. So he finally finds this little place. And it's not much. And he knocks on the door. And the widow woman comes and he says, ma'am, I don't even know how to say this. I'm looking around here, and I mean, a part of me really believes I'm in the wrong place. It's what God told me to do, but he told me to come to your house and that you would feed me and take care of me. And this little woman says, sir, you're just in time, because I was just about to make the last cake of bread. I've got enough meal I've got enough ground meal in a little barrel, and I've got a little bit of oil to mix with it, and I'm going to make a cake of bread, and we're going to eat that tonight, and then me and my son are going to die because that's all I've got left. Oh. And Elijah must have been thinking, ma'am, because I'm telling you how I am. I'd be like, ma'am, I don't want your last cake of bread. I don't want your last cake of bread. But folks, you got to do what God's telling you to do. Come on now. And he said, ma'am, I don't know about all that. All I know is God sent me here and asked you to feed me. And she said, well, you're welcome to what we have. And you can eat on this cake of bread too. But something wonderful happened that night when she was making supper. When she got through, she noticed there was still some oil. There was still some oil left in the jar, and she noticed there was just enough meal left for the next day. And then the next day there was still more oil, and the next day there was still more meal, and the next day there was still more oil, and there was still more meal, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Hallelujah. And it didn't run out, because God didn't send him there to take. He sent him there to give. God blessed him. God blessed Elijah too. He ate too. But God blessed that woman for being simple. You can't just hear God once, hear his voice, step out in faith, and stop listening. You got to keep going. And the Lord brings us into his perfection step by step. And Elijah moved when the Lord told him to move. And he went on from there to call fire down from heaven. When the prophets of Baal were dancing around, Elijah challenged them. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he challenged the prophets of Baal. He said, let's find out who is God. And you build an altar and you call fire down from heaven and see if your God will send fire down from heaven. And they built an altar and they danced around it, and they danced and they danced and they cried and they hollered and they shouted, and nothing happened. They got so frustrated they started cutting themselves, and just in frustration, just trying everything to appease their gods. And nothing happened. And after a while, Elijah said, enough of this foolishness. There's nobody out there listening to you. There's no, the gods you're calling on aren't real and don't have any power. Let me show you one that does. And he built an altar, and the Bible says he poured water all over it. I'm going to show you this ain't just some magic trick. I'm going to douse it with water. And he dug ditches around it and filled that with water. There was no way anybody could have set that altar on fire except God. And he had it soaked in water, and he prayed a simple prayer. And the Bible says the heavens opened up and fire came down from heaven and consumed the offering and burned up all the water and dried it up. And the people fell on their face, and revival hit the nation of Israel. And people cried out to the Lord and returned to the Lord again. And Elijah got so excited. Later that day, he cried out. He said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And he said, I prophesy that this drought of 3 years is about to end, and it's about to rain. And the heavens opened up and it started raining, and the drought ended. And the Bible says that Elijah got so excited, he outrun the horses and chariots of Ahab. Ahab was driving back to the city on his chariot, and Elijah passed him by. And Elijah that night was like, oh, God is so good. He took me to the brook Cherith, and ravens came and fed me. He took me to Zarephath, where a poor little widow woman's life was changed and multiplied. And later that widow's child was raised back to life because of her obedience. And Elijah said, we saw fire fall from heaven, and we saw the clouds open up and the drought ended, and I was able to outrun the horses of Ahab. What a great day. Whenever you have great victories in God, you can believe the devil's going to come knocking. It happens every time. Great victories come with great temptations. And this is where we sometimes lose focus and get lost with where we're supposed to be. Because when Jezebel heard about all that, and her prophets were slain and mocked and made fun of, and her God was shown to be nothing, she put out a contract on the life of Elijah, and she said, I want him dead. And Elijah got wind of it. And what did this great man of God do? Remember James 17. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. Amen. The great Elijah stumbled. The great Elijah got tripped up. The great Elijah lost focus, and he ran into the wilderness to hide. And he said, God, I want to die. Now, look at the victories he just had, and now he's praying, I just want to die. How many times have we seen people around altars? How many times have we seen people under the power of God, and just a few weeks later want to give up and quit because the enemy tripped you up? But here's what happened, and I saw this. Look at 1 Kings 19:9. Elijah's in a bad place. How many of you have been in a bad place? My hand's way up. I've been there. I've been in dark places. He was in a hard place. He was in a dark place. The enemy tripped him up, filled him with fear. And the Lord appeared to Elijah and said, and I love this, what are you doing here? Y'all need to see that. Because this is what I'm asking you today. What are you doing here? I didn't tell you to come here. Did I give you that order? Was that the next step? What are you doing here? I didn't tell you to come here. I didn't order you here. How many of us are somewhere God never told us to go? How many of us are somewhere that God never commanded? What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? See, Elijah wasn't there anymore. He was supposed to be there. Where's there? Where God told him to be. But that's not where he was. What he should have done is got on his face and sought God about Jezebel. Folks, God could take care of Jezebel. And he later did. Amen. So, what are you doing here? There's a place that God wants us to be. Now, here's what I'm talking about. Let's put this in practical terms. Let's say God's been dealing with you for a year about reading your Bible more. That's a place called there. Maybe God's been dealing with you the last year about praying more, about helping people in need or serving some. Maybe there's a neighbor down the road that God's been nagging you about. You need to speak to that person. You need to pray for that. You need to do this or that. Some simple thing. And you haven't done it. You've been hearing it for a year. I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray. I need to do this. I feel the Lord impressing. Whatever it is. I'm not telling you what it is. I don't know. But you know what that is? That is, I want you over there. And you've been hearing it for a year and haven't done it. You know what that means? You never went there. You're not there. You're just not there. You're still here. God's been telling you for a year, I want you over here. I want you doing this every day. I want you to get over there. But you're still here. And then we're wondering why God's not moving more. It's because we just haven't taken that first step. Because here's what's going to happen. When you take that first step, when you go over there, let's just say it's reading your Bible 15 minutes a day. It's just something simple. And you start doing it. You've never done it, but you start doing it. Okay, God, I'm there. I'm doing what you told me to do. In time, God's going to come and say, okay, now I want you over here. And he's going to move you to a better, deeper, more wonderful place. But you've got to do that first. You've got to take that first step with God. Let's stand together. God's got a